Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get an immediate answer to your question or to discuss the important issues you face in life right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Or to help you remember, it's 844-32-BASIC. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I remember a number of years ago being in Israel, and we were up on the northern part of Israel around the Sea of Galilee, and we toured all the different sites there, and we got on the bus and headed south to Jerusalem. If you read in the scripture, it talks about heading, going up, and that's actually what you're doing.
Sure.
You're going from a lower elevation to a higher elevation, and we went up the backside of Mount Scopus, and we went through a tunnel, and we crested the hill, and there was the city of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And we stopped, and we took some time to get out and just look down on the city. And all of us were so emotional at that particular point, because we looked down and saw the place where Christ died, where he was buried, where he was raised back to life, where this gospel message really took place. It was such a moving moment, and the words of Christ, you know, as he hung on the cross, "It is finished," just, you know, hit all of us in such a real and powerful way. And today I thought we would spend a few minutes talking about that last word that Jesus spoke from the cross, "It is finished," and what that exactly means to us as believers in Christ. Not only what it means, you know, as far as all that took place before the cross, but what it means moving forward from the cross. And I think that's what so many of us miss, that not only did Jesus take away our sins, but there was also another purpose for the cross, and that purpose moves us forward in this new life in Christ Jesus that we experience in the new covenant. And this is one of those life-changing truths, isn't it, guys?
Oh, my gosh, yeah, this is a big deal. I mean, the finished work of Christ, when it comes to really grasping what it's all about, Bob, you know, we look at our relationship to the law. Well, the Bible says we're dead to the law, and that's a finished work. In Christ, we're to really be dead to the law and be married to Christ. And so to flirt with Moses a little bit would be to be cheating on Jesus, essentially. And so the finished work touches our relationship with the law. That relationship is over. We're not under the condemnation of that. And then you look at our forgiveness. So the finished work means that we don't have to beg and plead and hope and wait for God to swoop down out of heaven and zap us with a new portion of cleansing, because Jesus said it's finished. And when our forgiveness is spoken of, it's spoken of in past tense. You know, Colossians and Ephesians, they say he has forgiven us, and we forgive others as the Lord forgave us, past tense. So that's a finished work. And then lastly, maybe most important of all, is the fact that we've become a new creation, and that's a finished work. Yeah, we've got attitudes and actions that are in process, but we've already had this heart surgery, this heart transplant, this spiritual DNA swap. I mean, the idea that our old self died and that we're new creations in Christ, that's a finished work in our human spirit. So this phrase, it's three little words, "It is finished," but boy, it goes a long way in revolutionizing our relationship with God.
Yes, it does. So that's what we want to talk about today. Maybe you as a listener have never come to grips with what it means to be a new covenant believer. We would love to hear from you and to talk with you on today's broadcast. Plenty of open lines right now. Join us.
Yeah, that number, 844-322-2742, is available, as Bob said, right now. 844-32-BASIC. And welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Again, Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley. My name is Bob Davis, and we want to welcome Richard back after a few days away from the microphones. Welcome back, my friend.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Staten Island, New York, and talk with Frank. Hi, Frank.
Hello, gentlemen. God bless you all. It is finished, yes, but it also says in Romans that he was raised for our justification in Romans 4:25. Without the resurrection, our faith would be in vain. I wanted to address something with your indulgence, because a caller called last week mentioning me on the air when Richard was taking the calls, and he said he was associated with the two nice Jewish boys, Jonathan and Khan.
Well, Frank, just get right to your point. We've given you a lot of airtime, and so get to your point so we can move on to other callers, okay?
Okay, well, I just wanted a rebuttal. He was trying to say that Mary wasn't the new ark of the new covenant.
Well, we're not gonna address that, Frank. We've addressed that on other editions of the program, so we don't want to address that. We've got so much more important stuff to talk about in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, and open lines again, 844-322-2742. That, of course, is why we're here every day live, so that you can pose your question or your particular issue, and we can discuss it fully. So take the opportunity, friends. That's a good one right now at 844-322-2742. Question from Kurt, who writes to us from California. Says, hello, I am reaching out for some help right now. I'm struggling with how to relate to the Holy Spirit. I'm also struggling with how to walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Do I talk to the Holy Spirit the same way that I talk to the Father and to Jesus? Thank you for your ministry. I believe I am hearing truth being taught and shared every time I listen to your program. It's my desire to experience the fruit of the Spirit in my walk with Jesus. I am just not sure how. That's from Kurt in El Dorado Hills, California.
Interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, guys, for me, I think, you know, really understanding the difference between being in the Spirit and walking by the Spirit has really revolutionized my thinking. I mean, first of all, we have to understand that every Christian is in the Spirit. We've been transferred. We used to get life from the flesh. We were in the flesh by nature, and now we are in the Spirit. So that's our spiritual geography. That's our location, and that's permanent. It's changed forever. That's the surgery that Christ did. He transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He transferred us from being in Adam to being in Christ. And now we're talking about walking. Well, the walking is not going to give us our position. We've already got our position. But the walking is just something that makes sense now in light of what's happened to us. So that's why the Bible calls it walking by the Spirit. Not walking in the Spirit, but the best way to express it is walking by the Spirit. Another translation would say, keep in step with the Spirit. So we have the Spirit, we are in the Spirit, He's in us. We can't get any more of the Spirit. We've been sealed by the Spirit forever. So we've got all of Jesus that we need. But there's a waking up, and it's not about a verbalizing, an outward voice. It's not a voice from heaven or skywriting in the sky. It's not something visible or audible, but it's a being motivated and inspired and animated by the life of the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. So this is the very same concept as when Paul says, Christ in you. Christ is in us because of the Holy Spirit. But Bob, there's a process of waking up for the next 80 years. I guess you could say we're on the 80-year plan or the eternal plan of getting to know Jesus Christ and kind of allowing Him to motivate us and inspire us. And that's what the walk is all about.
Yeah. Well, Kurt, hope you're listening and hope that's been a help to you.
Well, let's go to Long Island and talk to Dominique. Hi, Dominique.
It's Dominic with a K. I thought I heard you saying yesterday that the New Testament was the beginning of Christ's message. I thought it would be Beatitudes was the beginning of Christianity.
Well, it's an interesting point, Dominic. As far as God is concerned, I mean, the unfolding plan of Christ was right at the very beginning. It was in Genesis. We see that initial statement of the gospel after the fall, that there's going to be a seed, and through that seed, and so we see that trace through all of the Old Testament, and we see that all of that fulfilled in Christ Jesus. He was the promised seed. He was the promised Messiah, and He fulfilled the old covenant and ushered in a new covenant. And so by faith in Jesus, it's when we receive new life. So it's really the death, burial, and resurrection is the pivot point from the old covenant to the new. And it's in this new that we experience total forgiveness of sins, once for all forgiveness. It's in this new that we experience going from death to life. It's in this new that we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. So really, you know, that announcement that all was done and complete and made, could be made real in our life, was at Pentecost when Peter stood and said, you know, repent, believe, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's when the church was really formed, and that's the age that we're living in today.
Yes, but we have to understand, when a person is alive and saying what people would further believe in another generation, has to be the beginning, the Christianity of the Beatitudes. I mean, we don't have to wait for anyone to die to know anything about how they lived before.
Well, Dominic, I mean, you know, anybody could have a teaching like the Beatitudes. I mean, you look in Islam, you look in Buddhism, you look in various things about world religions who have a code of ethics and some morality. I think we have to remember that the idea of being peaceable, or the idea of being loving, or the idea of being forgiving and kind, we can find these general concepts across world religions. And so what really sets Christianity apart is not some choice phrases from the Beatitudes, but really the fact that the person of Christ lives in us. And so Bob is saying, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is what brings the life of Christ to us. And that's what makes Christianity different from any code of ethics out there. As good as the Beatitudes are, they're no good apart from Christ. They're only good as we draw from Christ. And so that's why we're saying that the resurrection is really the pivot point and the true source of getting Christ's life in us.
I don't believe that's true, because you have to believe in what the beginning is as far as the person who you're saying you believe in. And
well,
then whatever comes further belongs to that. But still, you can't skip over the beginning. You skip over number one and you don't have a mathematical system. You see? I mean,
well, no, I mean, I don't see
it. You have to be a little bit more understanding of the depth of the message.
I think we're getting our wires crossed. We think that the whole scripture from Genesis to Revelation is the word of God. We think every word that came out of the Son of God's mouth is important to consider in its context and its time. We're not discarding things. We're just putting things in context of sometimes when he says chop off body parts and pluck out your eyes and be perfect and sell everything, that maybe he has a point about the law not being, we're not able to achieve righteousness by the law. And so then, through his death and resurrection, he gives us righteousness as a free gift. So, you know, there's lots and lots of teaching of Jesus, and it has to be put in its proper context, but we're respecting it. In fact, we're respecting it to the max. I would say some of Jesus' teachings are not only good, they're not only great, but they're downright impossible. And that's the whole point, is that he's showing the proud Jews who were around him in that day that there's no way they can achieve that level of self-righteousness. And then he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we may disagree on some detail in your mind. And that's fine. It's fine for us to... Yeah, it's fine for us to disagree, but I think ultimately we have to say that without the resurrection, Christianity is nothing. And so that is the big, big deal, the resurrection of Christ.
The point is, it starts from someplace, and I think you're skipping over where it starts. That's what
okay. Well, thanks, brother, for your call. I appreciate you.
Yes, indeed. I always go back to what Paul had to say to the Corinthians. You know, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. And he goes on to clearly say it's the death, the burial, resurrection, the appearance of Christ to some 500. That's what makes up this gospel message, this good news, and that's what the apostles announced. And that announcement of that good news, what Christ has done for us that we could not do for ourselves, changes everything. Yes, Christ had to be born. Yes, there had to be so much more in front of that. But all of that was what became centered in that one event, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Well, let's go out to Boulder, Colorado, and talk to Mike, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Mike.
Hi, gentlemen. The statement, and I heard it well explained maybe 5 minutes ago at the top of your program, if I caught the top of, about the statement, it is finished. And then you went on with a list of little attributes that you liken to a Christian walk because of the statement, it is finished, by Christ on the cross. What if that statement Jesus made, it is finished, was only referring to the scripture that we find in James, where lust, once conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings death. What if the statement Jesus made was simply verifying truth at that point, that sin had been accomplished upon him, it was then finished, and that's why he gave up the ghost at that moment. That's why death came right after the statement.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hang up and I'll listen to your response to that, gentlemen.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for calling in with that. That's an interesting thought. It's an insight for us to consider. Regardless, I would say we're on the same page that Jesus became sin, that he paid the price for our sins in full. And then really all we're doing is talking about the ramifications of that. And so when we began to detail that, hey, you know, it is finished, means our relationship with the law is kaput. It is zero, zilch. We are dead to the law and we're alive to Christ. Well, that's just a ramification of what you're describing. It's a result. It's a natural byproduct. Because we died in Christ and we've been raised in Christ, then why in the world would we need the law to motivate us? And then, you know, the forgiveness issue and the idea that we're a new self, a new creation with a new heart and a new spirit and Christ's spirit living in us. Again, those are natural byproducts of what Christ did on the cross. But yeah, I'm with you. Christ became sin. And, James talks about a passage there that you've sort of tried to connect the two to. I mean, I personally have always thought that meant that, a temptation comes and then temptation can be birthed into sin and natural desires can become very twisted desires and sin can be born out of that. And then sin gives birth to death every single time. But, you know, it's also true that when Christ bore our sins, he became sin for us and died for them. So yeah, I think you've offered us an interesting insight. And Bob, we're really just trying to tease out the implications of all this and then live in light of the resurrection, aren't we?
Yes, indeed. And, it gives way to resurrection. When Jesus finished the work, he died, we died with him. So the law has been fulfilled in us. There's nothing more that the law can say to us. Now we've been raised to life. Well, the law has nothing to say to resurrection. And that's why this is such a significant statement. He is saying that God's work, as far as sin is concerned, is over. He's judged it. He's condemned it. Death was the final outcome. Just as he said, the wages of sin is death. Jesus bore that for us so that resurrection could actually mean something to us in a very real and assuring way, that we don't have to waffle on whether God is for us or he's not. The fact that Christ died, the fact that he took away all sin, the fact that he finished the work, frees us to rest confidently in God's love, grace, and mercy and experience his resurrected life to the full.
Absolutely. And Bob and Richard and Andrew, I think that this conversation brings to mind the importance of supporting this ministry and getting the message out. As we point toward Friday and the observation of the cross and toward Sunday and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, I can't think of a better time for our listeners to join with us in a partnership to help us get the message out. This is the best news that we will ever hear. The proof of the resurrection, of course, is a CD that you and Richard produced this past week, and we would love to get that into the hands of our listeners who can make a contribution to the ministry at this time. So we encourage you to do that, and you can go to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent support link there on the homepage, basicgospel.net, or you can call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator at 844-412-2742, 844-412-2742. Either way, a great way to support the ministry and request your copy of Proof of the Resurrection.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Mount Vernon, New York, and talk to Elizabeth, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Elizabeth.
How are you, my brothers? Peace and love to you both.
Thank you.
Okay, two questions very quickly. If when a person is called to accept Christ as their Savior and their sins are forgiven, then why later on, when we're traveling along the road of growing closer to Christ, do we hear, if we do not forgive others, he will not forgive us? When I was under the impressions, my sins have all been forgiven.
Well, Elizabeth, that is an excellent question.
Ask my second, and then I'll listen to you, please, very quickly, and you do as it is, that question. The second one is, could you please describe the 3 days when Jesus was in the grave? You always hear about he was in the grave, as Jonah was in the stomach of the whale, blah, blah. What are the 3 days?
Another interesting question.
Sunday. What are those 3 days?
Yeah.
So I wish to hear that. God bless you both and your families. Thank you. I'm going to listen.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. Yeah. Very interesting first question. It really ties into what we've been talking about this whole program, the fact that the cross is a pivot point. It takes us out of the old and pushes us into the new. And Andrew, give us a little explanation of what exactly that means. When Jesus said, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you, was that old covenant? Is that new covenant? Where does that fit in kind of the timeline of the Word of God?
Yeah, it's very interesting to me how many theologians and Christian teachers have kind of just glossed over that issue, but Jesus is very quick to expound upon it. In the Lord's Prayer, you know, he doesn't just say, forgive us. He says, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. And then he says, for if you forgive, God will forgive you. But if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. So it's pretty clear he's got a conditional if in there. The forgiveness is not a sure thing. It's hanging in the balance. It's hinging on your performance. And so Elizabeth's question is so needed, because it's like, you know, where do I put this? What do I do with this? How do I interpret this? And the reality is, most importantly, it is before the cross. And the fact that it is before the cross, and it is taught to Jews before the final sacrifice of Christ, we're really seeing that just as he told the rich man to sell everything, but we never see that with Paul, Peter, James, or John, just as he told them to cut off their hand and pluck out their eye, but we never see that in the writings of Peter, James, John, or Paul. What we're seeing is that sometimes before the cross, Christ is exposing the futility of life under the law. You can't do it. You can't live it. You're going to need grace, and that comes through the resurrection.
Yes, and the good news about forgiveness is that God says to us in this new covenant that we are to forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us. That's what you mentioned at the top of the hour. And that's where we need to live as believers, that Christ has already done the work of forgiving us. And as a matter of fact, he's the only one that can really forgive sin. He's the only one that has the authority to forgive sin, to take them away, to remove them from us in such a way that he remembers them no more. And in that grace, we get to extend forgiveness to others. What we know of forgiveness, God has taught us in Christ, and then we can pass that on to others when we've been offended. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so vitally important for us to understand that it's finished, that God's work to take away sin has been done. There's nothing more to do, and that we live every day in the forgiveness of Christ Jesus. And as we live in that forgiveness, we can then pass that on to others.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us today for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. We appreciate the fact that many of you called to get answers to your particular questions or your particular life situations, and we always encourage you to do that. We'll be back tomorrow, but in the meantime, thanks for joining us today. So now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.
Bob.